Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on 2008 in review right after this. You know, when the federal income tax was launched back in 1913, the tax was levied only on the super wealthy, the richest one-half of 1% of the population, and the top tax rate was only 7%. Today, of course, the fears of those early opponents of the tax have now been more than fully realized. By the end of Herbert Hoover's term, the top tax rate had jumped from 7 to 60%. And by the time Franklin D. Roosevelt was done, the top rate was over 90%, and the tax had been dramatically expanded to seize the incomes of the middle class for the first time. Now, in 1913, the average family had to work until January 30th in order to earn enough to satisfy the tax man at every level. This year, the average American family had to work all the way through May 12th in order to earn enough to pay their federal, state, and local tax bills. Now, when we compare this to the plight of medieval serfs, says Daniel J. Mitchell, he's an economist, they only had to give the lord of the manor a third of their output. And those people were considered slaves. Now, what does that make us today? Now, this income tax and Social Security tax violate three of the Ten Commandments, and it violates eight statutes of the Old Covenant, and it violates our English common law. This income tax and Social Security tax are two criminal activities. The income tax is the second plank to the Communist Manifesto, and the Social Security tax is the eighth plank to the Communist Manifesto. And that's why I contend that you owe it to yourself to at least ask the question, do I really want to participate in this kind of criminal activity? Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. While you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free of charge. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, tax and status, our school is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now while you're thinking about it, before you forget. All right, we're talking about the International Forecaster 2008 in review. I mentioned last time, I said, my God, if you'd have told me what was coming in 2008, I'd have thought you were a madman. They've expanded the money supply by triple. Triple. There's three times more dollars in circulation today than there was at the beginning of 2008. Well, not quite three, but it's 275% closing in on three. Now, that's not only unprecedented, it's insane. Absolutely insane. And this is part of that Keynes, a guy by the name of Keynes. Back in the 1930s, he was an economist. You know, one of these addle-headed academians. And he got it in his head that the way to prime or pump the economy was print more money and put it into circulation. By God, he was right. It does that all right. But then there's a response, a repercussion that comes from it. Everything has a conclusion to the matter. And so it came to a conclusion, and we've been suffering from that conclusion, and it's called poverty. And every time this has been tried for the last 5,000 years, Keynes wasn't anything new. I mean, hell, we've been doing this fiat paper money. We've been clipping coins. We've been screwing people, for thousands of years. It's called theft. Thou shalt not steal is the law that prohibits that. But we've been doing that for a long time, thousands of years, and it's always had the same outcome. It's economic disaster and poverty. Every single time, without exceptions. You'd think, we'd learn from that. We've been through that here in the United States. 1783, 1929, and now 2008. Here it comes again. We didn't learn anything in 1783 to 1787. Didn't learn anything from 1929 to 1937. Didn't learn anything in the ensuing years that have come upon us over the past 70 years from the 1930s. And so history repeats itself. You ever heard that old adage? History repeats itself. It's because nobody ever does anything to change it. You just go right out and do the same things over again. I could make this prediction right now today. This economic collapse and crisis will come to an end at some point in time. Now, they'll come up with some new colored money and some new economic program, and it'll run for a while, and you know what'll happen? They'll print more paper money. And we'll do exactly what we've done to ourselves this time around, and we'll do it to ourselves again and again and again, unless, God or somebody steps in and says, "Now I ain't going to let you do that to yourselves anymore. Enough's enough." So let's see what we've done to ourselves. The objective of the Illuminati has been to create and then dump this toxic waste, these weapons of mass economic destruction, on nations all over the world in order to collapse the old nation-state system and then replace it with their Orwellian New World Order, a global, corporatist, fascist, police state of feudality, where the would-be masters of the universe get to lord it over all the rest of us, their serfs. Now, instead of leaving everyone else holding the bag, as was their intention, the rather fortuitous exposure of their fraud left them holding a part of the bag, which they had intended to leave for everyone else, that's you and me. They had SIVs loaded with this nasty stuff off the books in offshore funds, and they had quite a bit left in-house that was in the process of being worked on, like some sort of deadly poison that you might find being worked on in Dr. Strangelove's laboratory to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars. And yes, thanks to the Illuminati, rocket scientists have become the new mad scientists of financial innovation, manufacturing new financial poisons that are so toxic that they now threaten the whole world. Now, some of those new financial poisons were called credit default swaps. Their acronym is called a CDS, and they're called credit default swaps. Some $60 to $70 trillion worth that are currently wreaking havoc with AIG, Lehman, and Citigroup, as well as with many hedge funds. But if you think these are bad, just wait until you see what happens when interest rate swaps, those are called IRSs, meet the double-digit interest rates. And it'll be like Frankenstein meets the Wolfman. This event will quite literally be a financial Armageddon from which no one will escape. All right, did you get that? Maybe you'd never heard the term CDS and IRS and AIG, and you get all these acronyms floating around out there, and if you're the average Joe Sixpack like I am, that kind of passes right over the top of your head. But let me give you a little perspective here. We're in what we call a housing crisis. Hell, we ain't seen nothing yet. This is not the housing crisis. There's a housing crisis coming. but this ain't it. There is a deflation coming, but this ain't it. There's a god-awful hyperinflation coming, but we ain't seen nothing yet. That's why I keep telling you people out there, you know, you think you're going to retire and drive around in your SUV or drive around in your motorhome. You know, you're going to be worried next year. Next year, you're going to be worried at Christmas time as to whether or not you got enough to eat. You're not going to be concerned about your retirement. So I've been telling people, you know, I've been telling my students for years and years, see us old-timey contrarians out here, us old farts, you know, we've been through this before. And so you young people out there, you know, you've never lived a day without a pair of shoes. You've never lived a day without having plenty of everything. You've been raised as spoiled brats. Well, now it's about time to come home to roost. Now, to kind of ease your pain over here, I was talking to a guy here the other day. He's 89 years old. And this old guy, it was from Branson, Missouri, and he lived back during the Depression years. And one of my students asked him, he said, how does this Depression affect you? You know, back in the 30s. And he said, hell, never affected us. We were already so damn poor, we didn't know that there was a problem. And I've talked to more than one person told me that story. One of my students the other day reported back to him. He told me the same thing. That this old guy had been through that. Now, I've lived pretty damn poor from time to time, and I've been to the top and been to the bottom. And old George Patton said, you know, the test of a man's mettle is how well he bounces on the bottom. It's not how high or how low he goes, rises or falls. It's how well do you bounce on the bottom. Now, boys and girls, we're all going to hit the bottom here pretty shortly, and we're going to find out how well you bounce. So let's pay attention to some realities here. Now, I'm reading from the International Forecaster, so why don't you write that down? Internationalforecaster.com. Guy that writes this, now his name is Bob Chapman. He's an old fart like I am. He's what we call a contrarian. And I call them realists. Now, since the end of World War II, we Americans have been living in an unreal world. Now, whether it was God Almighty that gave it to us and blessed us with it, that's fine. Or whether it's just a happenstance or caprice, that's fine too. But nevertheless, you know, we've been living the life of Riley. And it's just about to come to an end. And so you need to get ready for what's coming. And what's coming is not what you're listening to on Katie Couric and Brian Williams and Charlie Gibson. That's fantasy land. But there's a few guys out here that are writing newsletters, been telling us for years, you know, let's get ready for what's coming down the pike. Some of you are pretty ready. Some of you are kind of ready. Some of you wish you'd been more ready. Some of you haven't even taken a first step. It's never too late. You know, there's always a time. You're on the chessboard, and there's moves that need to be made. It's time to make those moves. Now, I'm not an evangelist, and I don't give a rat's, you know what, whether you do or don't. It's no skin off my back one way or the other. But as a reporter, my job in life, my business in life is reporting. And this guy, Bob Chapman, is quite a reporter. He's got something to say, something intelligent to say. This is where reality is. Retirement is something that ain't going to happen. And you people that are already retired are going back to work. Whether you like it or not, you're going back to work. And the sooner you get after it, the better. Now, if you're looking for employment, that's not going to come very easy. So I would forget employment and I would concentrate on entrepreneurial invention. You need to do something that makes real property in the form of gold and silver coin, real wealth. And forget about this paper crap, because that's all coming down around our ears. And you can see that right now. And that's what Chapman's reporting on. Now, these things that we call CDSs and IRSs and so on, These are investment vehicles. This is commercial paper that's already been sold. So I'm not telling you about, you know, if you don't vote for this guy, here's what's going to happen. Hell, you've already voted for the guys over the last 50 years, and it's already happened to you. The collapse is around your neck right now as I speak. The entire world economy is in free fall as I speak. And there's no bottom in sight, and what we've seen so far ain't the tip of the iceberg. Well, the iceberg tip's still in the fog, for crying out loud. Now, there's a housing crisis coming. And it's going to start in June of 2009. And what it deals with is middle class. See, we've been dealing with poor people so far that bought a bunch of property, bought a bunch of houses out here, and they couldn't afford it. But there's a bunch of the rest of you people out there that have mortgages on your houses that you've taken on, and you're not going to be able to service that debt. And so far, we've got a couple million houses in foreclosure. That number is going to jump to around 10 or 11 million by 2010. I mean, this is going to be god-awful. So, it's already too late for you to sell your house. See, the time for you to have sold real property was in June of 2005. So, you're 3 years too late. If you didn't sell in June of 2005, which was the peak, then you needed to be out of it no later than December of 2006. After January of 2007, you know, it wasn't impossible. But, you know, your chances of selling out then were deteriorating rapidly, so that by August, when the financial crisis started, in August of 2007, if you weren't out of your real estate. All right, now real estate is still selling, but you're going to sell at a god-awful discount right now. So if you've got any equity left in any real estate, and there's a bigger fool around who wants to invest, unload. But for practical purposes, you're probably stuck with what you got. Now, if you're stuck and you're underwater, then the first step is to get you up to COD. That's cash on delivery and out of debt. Because if you're in debt, that's just a kiss of death. And most of you people out there are in debt. So your first job is to get out of debt. How do you do that? Well, you can bankrupt out of it. That's one way. You can just default and walk away from it. That's two. Three, you could pay it all off. You know, that's an option. Hell, if you had the money, you'd probably have paid it off. Hell, if you had the money, you wouldn't be in debt. And so obviously, if you're in debt, you don't have any money. So there's other options out there that you have to avail yourself of. So don't go jump off of some bridge or jump out of some building over here because you're in debt. Hell, this has been going on for thousands of years. You're not the first guy that's ever gone through this, and you ain't going to be the last. Now, there's a solution to this, and it comes from the Bible, of all places. It comes from your Creator, who told you, don't deal in unjust weights and balances. The reason that we've got this financial crisis is because we've been listening to the bankers. And the bankers told us that what we needed was their credit cards, and we needed to borrow money and get a mortgage and pay interest and usury. And our Creator told us not to do that. And so, you know, you being smarter than God, we went out and mortgaged your house and then bought a new car. And now you've got all these payments to make, and now you can't service the debt. Okay, that's a predictable outcome. It's been going on for thousands of years. It's going on today, and it's going to continue going on. Now, one of these days, you'll wake up, and you'll grow up, and you'll get to be a big boy or a big girl, and you'll stop doing that. But most of you have to reinvent the wheel two or three times. It isn't satisfactory that somebody else invented it, so let's take advantage of it. No, we got to go out and invent it ourselves. And that's where we're at now with these CDSs and these IRSs. And pretty soon, there's coming a financial Armageddon. We're not even close to that yet. That's still a couple of years away. But you might as well get ready for the financial Armageddon. If you think things are bad today, you haven't been through one of these depressions yet. Now, we're coming on to a depression, but we're not there yet. So sit back and relax now. There's action needs to be taken. Now, here at the law school, we teach a business school. And the first thing I tell a student when he walks in the door is, listen, we got to get you out of debt and up to COD, because if you're in debt, $10, $20, $50, $100, $200, $300, $500,000, you can't make money doing that. There's no money in debt. Well, not for the debtor. There is for the lender. And you remember this old adage, it says, he who has the gold makes the rules. Now, these bankers are making all the rules, and you people are the debtors, and they're just walking all over you. Eating your lunch, just having a hell of a field day, and they got you paying the tab. And if you want to keep doing that, well, you're on the right track. Stick with the program you got right now. If you're getting tired of that, well, then listen up. Enjoy the low rates right now while you can. Our fine aluminist miscreants, when rates go into double digits, remember that's 12, 15, 18, 20% interest, it'll be like the sun going supernova. Hundreds upon hundreds of trillions of dollars in notional value are at stake. That's what you think your house is worth. When the interest rates do what they did in the early 1980s, when they went up to 21%, when the huge imbalance between low fixed rates that have been exchanged for what will become astronomical variable rates starts to generate losses, the likes of which have never been seen before in the history of mankind. I'm going to underline that. Never before seen in the history of mankind. And by the way, boys and girls, we're starting to see numbers now that are reminiscent of the 1930s depression. And for instance, the commodities losses total 60% as I speak. During the Great Depression, they topped out at 40% loss. Now that's just one symptom. But the housing losses, the value of your property losses in the last Great Depression were 50%. They're at 44 or 46% now, and they're still in free fall. They're going out past 50% because we're not in the housing crisis yet. I just told you that. You've got symptoms of housing crisis for the poor people. The middle class people haven't been affected yet. By golly, they're going to be shortly. Starts in June of 2009. And we've got about 36 months of those to go through. And then, right after that, there's a second wave of housing foreclosures. And then there's the third wave, which is commercial real estate, which has only declined about 7% so far. But the malls across the country are emptying up. Go take a look in your mall now, wherever you live. Go down to the mall and then take a look at the number of vacancies are there. See? Battlefield Mall was full here 3-4 years ago. Now there's vacancies. And Northtown Mall is practically empty. And there are malls all over America that are empty, that are defunct. Real estate values are declining. They're still in free fall. But it hasn't affected commercial yet, but it's coming on. And wait until the commercial real estate goes upside down. That's when you businesses, you little businesses out there, are going upside down. Now, understand this. 65% of all employment in this country, 65% now, is with companies with less than 100 employees. And that's all those stores and all those malls. That's all those little businesses all over town. 25% of employees work at General Electric or Ford. And 10% work for government. All right. Now, the big blow is going to come to that 65% employment. Those little businesses. And that's coming now in 2009. And it's going to accelerate through 2010 and 11. this depression that we're entering into is going to last 10, 15, 20 years, you know, if time goes on. And that's because all of the politicians, all the bankers are pulling all the strings and doing all the wrong moves. And they're not making the wrong moves accidentally. They're doing it on purpose. The objective is to bankrupt you. It's to destroy you financially. Then with your house taken away, your car taken away, and you're unemployed, when they come to you and they say, you need to take this chip in your right hand and in your forehead. Boys and girls, you will line up to get your chip. That's the objective behind all this. And they want to break you down so that you become compliant. And then they'll succeed with about 99% of you people. Now, there's a small group of you that are familiar with this thing called the Mark of the Beast. That's your Social Security account number, kids. Social Security. You probably already have it. You might want to think about getting rid of it. Take a look at Revelation 13. Is it Revelation 13, 16? I think it is. Take a look and see if that Mark of the Beast isn't about Revelation 13, 16, 17, 18, long in there. And these bankers now, they're out to capture you. They've got you. Now, there's a few of you thinking about escaping. So if you want to escape, boy, there's no better time than right now. Remember this thermonuclear chain reaction that's going to vaporize everything in its path. And these are called IRSs. And they're going to reach critical mass. The final implosion of these IRSs, and we don't mean the Internal Revenue Service either, although we find it the commonality of their initials rather intriguing, it's going to mark the start of what will become the greatest world depression in many centuries, perhaps in all of mankind's history. This horrendous event is about to follow the coming period of hyperinflation that will be generated by low and now ludicrously low, zero or near zero interest rates. Speculation and reinflation of our economy, utilizing the printing press and fractional reserve banking. And it's this period of hyperinflation that's going to cause the interest rates charged on virtually all loans out here in the real world, outside of the banking system, to go into double digits. And this is going to happen because the dollar will be in fiat money hell. And risk will be in the stratosphere. So in the wake of this coming global depression, there will be worldwide revolution, civil unrest, martial law. And this is only several years away. We're not talking several decades now. We're just talking about a few years. And those who do not own gold and silver are going to be impoverished and will join the new feudal system as serfs and slaves of the Illuminati. Unless, of course, these sociopaths are booted out through revolution and bloodshed, which may well happen. Now, I kind of doubt it because I think we're headed toward the Great Tribulation. And I think that we're getting closer now to the Second Coming than most of us want to think about. Because these depressions generate civil unrest and then war. And boy, when the next war comes, don't you think that's going to be a James Dandy Wallapalooza? When's it coming and who's it coming between? Hell, I ain't a prophet. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be over Iran or Afghanistan or Pakistan or India or what the hell's coming down. But, hell, you can already see that in your daily papers. It's these crazies over in Pakistan going into India and blowing them up. Hell, you know, those people have nuclear weapons, and one of these days they're going to cut loose with them. Those Indians are nice guys, you know, but they're not going to take that crap forever. Now, probably the average Muslim isn't too excited about running around and getting a nuclear bomb war started, but there's a lot of fanatics that would like to do just that. And one of these days they'll succeed. And then, you know, there's people that are on one side or the other, like the Chinese and the Russians, you know, they're going to be on one side, and then that's going to put the Americans and the Canadians and Australians and NATO countries, you know, on the other side, and then pretty soon, you know, one side gets a little belligerent, and then the other side, you know, gets a little belligerent, and then pretty soon, you know, there it is. So wake up to reality here. Now, if you're thinking about retirement and you're concerned about your Winnebago, you know, I think you ought to start rethinking your position here. And you can start rethinking your position by getting your brain out of the clouds and start thinking about reality. And reality comes from the contrarian view. And that contrarian view, you know, has been preached now for years and years, like the little boy that cried wolf. And so for years and years, these guys have been saying, hey, the economy is going to collapse. We're going into depression. You know, back in the 50s. My granddad told me in 1950, about the year before he died, 1950, he said, son, this thing's gonna go to hell in a handbasket, and this depression's coming back, and the world's gonna be affected by this. You can't have a $257 billion debt that's unserviceable. That was in 1950, when America was $257 billion in debt, and my old granddaddy gasped at the size of that World War II number. Wouldn't he be surprised if he could see $10 trillion that they admit to and $100 trillion that they deny? We're about to enter fiat paper money hell here shortly, and this hyperinflation is going to drive all the goods right off the shelves. Let me tell you the answer to that one. If you take all the money that's in circulation prior to this latest $8.5 trillion that's just been added in the last 13 weeks of 2008, you just take all the money that was out there and you went into Walmart and all the stores of America and you spent it, all of us together could only get 2% of our money's worth converted into goods. 2%. That's it. 98% of the money that you've got or you think you've got, you ain't got, buddy. Because there ain't no goods out there on the shelves for you to buy. Now, we have what we call just-in-time delivery, and you've got all this wealth sitting over here, and you think that you've got a lot of money, but so far there's been no run on the stores. There's been no run on the banks, but it's coming. It's always happened in the past. History, you know, is something to learn from. And one of these days, there'll be a catalyst. And it could be the COMEX on December the 31st, because they're not going to make that 43% unless they can borrow the gold from someplace. 43% of investors say they want their physical gold out of COMEX, and they want it by December 31st. Let me tell you, boys and girls, the fat lady's going to sing December 31st. We'll find out how much gold they got. Or how much they can raise. And one of these days when this thing turns turtle over here, we're all going to be affected by it, and there's going to be a run on the stores. And when this run on the stores occurs, there's going to be shortage. And that's what this hyperinflation does. It drives all the goods off the stores. In the last depression, we had a depression. We had deflation. We didn't have very much money, but by God, when we got a dollar, it was worth something, and we could go buy the goods because the goods were on the shelf. This time, you're going to have fiat money, and you're going to go to the store, and there's nothing on the shelf to buy. Now, that's what the bottom line is. So if you've got money, you need to get out of dollars, and you need to get the goods right now. You need a four-year food supply coming right out of the chute. And then anything that you're going to use over the next 4 years, maybe longer than four, I'm not saying four is it, but at least 4 years, all of these depressions last 4 years. All of these shortages, take a look at Zimbabwe. Hell, those people over there are groveling today through Dempsey dumpsters to get enough to eat. They're fleeing the country. There isn't enough food in the country. They're fleeing to South Africa. You Canadians will be fleeing across the border to the United States. We Americans are going to be fleeing across the border to Canada looking for food. You Canadians up there, pay attention now. Wake up. Hey, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements and recommendations that we give out don't mean that those authors and publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to endorse and recommend the Law Hour and Editorial Review. So keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review, some of them may be hostile or political, they can be religious and economic or sectarian, racial or ethnic partisans. And sometimes their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program, they're mine alone, they don't necessarily represent the views, the beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct and ask live and direct if you want. The number is 417-273-4967. We are reviewing the December 20th, isn't it? Yeah. Saturday, December 20th, 2008 International Forecaster. It's published by Robert Chapman. And if you'll go to his webpage, it's internationalforecaster.com. It's an easy one. If you can spell International Forecaster, all one word, just International Forecaster, if you can spell all of that, .com, then you can get onto his website and you can take a look and see whether or not I'm lying to you. This guy's an old man, smarter than I am, uses big words. Sometimes I have to look them up in the dictionary. But I've been subscribing to this guy's newsletter for years and years. I'm pretty familiar with him. And he's an economist. Actually, he's a stockbroker is what he is. He's an old-timey government spook. He used to work for the government. He's a spy. He was one of our spies. Worked for an intelligence community. And he's a pretty savvy guy, streetwise. You know, he knows where the bodies are buried. Now, he's been out here telling us for years, you know, wake up and smell the coffee. Some of us did. I woke up years ago and I said, hell, I think maybe I better... Maybe I better get out of debt. Maybe I better pay my mortgage off. Maybe I better keep working. No, I'm pushing 70 now, and I'm not retired. I'm not on Social Security. I don't have a Social Security account number. I got rid of that. You can, too. No, I don't recommend that. I'm not here to tell you people what to do or how to live your lives. I don't know if Social Security is good for you or bad. You're going to have to figure that out for yourself. My conclusion was it was bad for me, so I got rid of it. And boy, sorry I did. So I wanted to share that with you. I think it's the mark of the beast. I think it's going to come back and bite us all in the butt, if you want my opinion. I just gave it to you, whether you wanted it or not. Now, in the wake of this, and listen to this again, it says, in the wake of this coming global depression, there's going to be a worldwide revolution. There is going to be, you know, take a look at the last time. Remember the veterans in Washington, D.C. in 1932? It was called the Veterans Bonus Army. And they wanted the money that the government had promised them. Wasn't due yet, but they wanted it. And so they marched on Washington, and General MacArthur, you know, before World War II now, General MacArthur, he goes in there and burned them out. So if you want to know how your government's going to deal with you people, they're going to burn you out. Whatever it takes, that's what they're going to do to you. How do I know that? It's what they did the last time. What the hell makes you think they're going to be any different the next time? Now go to Detroit. The workers there at Ford, you know, they got a little uppity, so they brought out the police over there and they killed a bunch of them. There's going to be civil unrest, civil disorder. The best thing you can do is stay the hell out of those mobs. There's going to be mobs out there. Stay the hell out of them. Mind your own business. Now, things are going to get tough, but, you know, the tough, when things get tough, get up and get going. Now, if you want a little help along this line, we offer a business school, tax and status, and a business school. That's two different schools now. I'm not complaining about the IRS or the EPA or the U.S. government or Barack Obama or anybody else. What a lot of these people are doing isn't good for the nation, isn't good for the economy. It violates the law of God, violates the Ten Commandments, and there's going to be hell to pay for it. But, you know, that's what the majority of Americans want. And by God, they're going to get it. Now, if you want to be a contrarian and you want to avoid all that trouble, why don't you call us here at the law school and establish a little dialogue, because there's money to be made in a Great Depression. Did you know that? Some of the greatest fortunes that are out there today. Joe Kennedy made his fortune during the Great Depression of the 1930s. I mean, great fortunes are made. I don't need to make a great fortune. I just need to make a living. And there's money to be made, and there's a living to be made, even in the depths of a depression. But you're not going to make it in Battlefield Mall. And you're not going to make it selling designer jeans and Lexus automobiles. Now, you know, if you're in the business world, you know it's time for you to wake up and smell the coffee. If you think you're going to make it in real estate, yeah, there's going to be money made in real estate, but not the way you've been making it in the past. So I always tell my students when they come in the door, number one, we got to get you out of debt. But number two, opportunity is like rain. It's everywhere. There's opportunity right now here today. I do business every day. I'm out here working every day. I'm not retiring. Moses did not retire at age 80. That's when he started his lifelong work. Age 80. 40 years. Led the Israelites out of Egypt. Started at age 80. Colonel Chicken didn't get started until he was 65. J.C. Penney didn't get started until he was 65. So, you know, if you're old and retired and you think that, my God, life has passed me by, always remember Moses, J.C. Penney, and Colonel Chicken. Other people are retired on Social Security, and those guys are out here creating new businesses. And that's where you're going to have to be. You're going to have to be out here creating some kind of new business. You can forget about getting a job with General Electric or General Motors. All right, so tucking that one away in your heart, let me give you a few little blips here. Now, we're covering the International Forecaster. Listen up. The use of TARP funds. Now, that was that acronym for the bailout. Remember that October bailout? All right, they call it the TARP funds have been directed at enriching the major banking and brokerage firms on Wall Street to keep them from declaring bankruptcy and to consolidate power among a handful of Illuminist firms. The Federal Reserve refuses to release information on the disbursement of the TARP funds and what was accepted as collateral and the values given to such collateral involved in swaps for Treasury securities. The excuse, of course, is exposure of trade secrets and national security. All the Federal Reserve is doing is shielding its position as head of the Wall Street banking mafia.
Okay.
Now that's what you're dealing with here, is the Wall Street banking mafia. And if you want to support it, stick with the program that you're on. It's a winner. Now, if you want to break away from it, you know, give me a call here at the law school and we'll talk to you about tax and status. We'll talk to you about the Ten Commandment model versus the Ten Plank to the Communist Manifesto. Let me give you an illustration. Most of you people out there practice communism. This economic crisis is created by communism. Here's what communism is. It's wrapped up in this thing called the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. And the first plank calls for the abolition of all right to property. The Ten Commandments has a plank. It's called Thou Shalt Not Steal. Thou Shalt Not Steal establishes your right to property. And the first plank to the Communist Manifesto severs your right to property. Second plank calls for a heavy progressive income tax. You people are paying 17% to 43% of everything you create and produce to income tax. It's a counterfeit of tithing. Tithing takes 10%. Now you figure it out. Would you rather pay 10% to God or 40% to the United States of America? And most people have made their decision. They would rather pay 40% to the IRS than 10% to God. Stick with the program if you're happy with it. Fifth plank calls for a central bank. You've got that. In this country, it's called the Federal Reserve Bank. Over in England, you got the Bank of England. Every country in the world has a central bank. That's the fifth plank to the Communist Manifesto. Tenth plank calls for free education for all children in public school. That's called public school. Every country in the world's got public school. God tells you to educate your children at home to the Ten Commandment model. You people said, hell no, we won't go. So you're sending your children to public school to teach them the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. Now listen, there's four of the planks to the Communist Manifesto versus the Ten Commandments. And all you've got here is an exact opposite. Now, I suggest that you reconsider the Ten Commandments. Our founding fathers established our Constitution and our monetary system on the Ten Commandment model in 1787. And it produced the wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world politically, economically, and militarily in 113 years. And it'll do it again if we go back to the Ten Commandment model. But you're not going to get the Ten Commandment model from Barack Obama, Robert Rubin, or Hanky Panky Paulson, or from the bankers, insurance companies, and the major corporations of America. And that's because they make their money off of the backs of the people who practice communism. Now, if that's what you want, stick with it. You got a winning operation going. And they're not going to change. Your government, your insurance companies, your banking institutions, your major corporations are going to stick with the program that we've already got. They've worked long and they've worked hard to establish this communist model. And they worked long and hard to get you to join up with it. So, if you want to stick with the program, then that's your choice in life. But there's repercussions now that come from that. Now, here at the law school, we took a look at that and we said, you know, I'm not so sure that we want to go through this 1929 program a second time. I think I had enough. My grandparents told me and my parents told me that they had enough. I said, I think I'll learn from them. They invented the depression wheel. Let me learn from it. I'm going to stay as far away from that as I can get. And here's one of the links that's going to help you do that. This international forecaster, now I told you last time, is about 20 pages. That's the low end. I've never seen a copy come out with less than 20 pages. Sometimes it's more than 40 pages. Comes out twice a week. Twice a week. Hell, that's more than the Ozark County Times. That's only a weekly. And this guy Chapman has something to say. That's the point I'm trying to make. This guy's got his head screwed on straight, and he's trying to tell you something. He's an old man. Now, God tells you about old men. He said, rise up before the hoary head. When you see some old man walk into the room, stand up. Give him the honor he's entitled to. And then, when he bids you, sit down, shut your mouth, fold your hands, and listen up. And he'll tell you, this is the way this works. Now, we take our old people and put them in rest homes. You should be paying attention. The old people, they were the guys that were around in the last Great Depression. They might have been able to tell you something. You locked them up in a rest home, and you didn't listen to them. And so I wanted to share with you this international forecaster. Now, listen, here's another little story here. Needless to say, you can find very little about the Bloomberg suit in the media except on Bloomberg, who obviously is not an Illuminist. The Federal Reserve has been behind every major fraud on Wall Street since 1913. They have been assisted by banking, several of which are owners of the Federal Reserve. The main players are J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, and Citigroup. The power of these banks, these investment banks, these brokerage firms, and their leader, the Federal Reserve, control our government. So if you think you're going to vote in change with Barack Obama, you got your head up the wrong end. In fact, if you want to know where most of the money for Obama's campaign came from the bankers. If you want to know where most of the money came for John McCain's run for the presidency, it came from the bankers. These are the guys that control the world. Now, that being the case, I'm just a reporter. I just wanted to tell you that's where it's at. So, forget this change crap, and let's get down to smelling the coffee here. What are you going to do to save your own ass from the collapse that's coming? Not the collapse that you think is here, because this isn't the collapse yet. You can walk into your neighborhood grocery store and still buy ketchup. Boys and girls, the day's coming when you walk into your neighborhood grocery store, there ain't going to be no ketchup on the shelf for you to buy, irrespective of how much money you've got. Now, we've already seen that time and time and time and time again. And we haven't paid attention to history. So I'm going to share that with you. You're witnessing it today. In Zimbabwe, and we've seen it in Weimar, Germany. We saw it in Bulgaria, Romania, and China. We've seen it here in the United States once in 1783, a hyperinflation. It's the worst of both worlds. Now, if you'll notice, people from these Wall Street firms infest Wall Street as well as positions in Canada at the World Bank, the IMF, and the U.S. government. Henry Paulson, the Secretary of the Treasury now, came from Goldman Sachs. The guy's got $600 million. Now, that's what we know about. Let me tell you a little story about this guy, Madoff. It's just about right. He made off with $50 billion. That's not true. Bernie Madoff made off with $100 billion. You didn't hear the whole story. He got $100 billion. And the report is that he was running a Ponzi scheme. That's the cover story. Bernie Madoff stole $100 billion from investors and shipped it off to Israel. A lot of the money that he stole came from charities, of which on TV the other night were two Jewish charities. But don't worry about the two Jewish charities, because they can get their money, 100 cents on the dollar, in Jerusalem. Now, the rest of you charities, you Christians out there, take it in the hind end. Bernie Madoff is a Jew. Bernie Madoff is an insider, Illuminist Jew. He's a Zionist. And this isn't anything that's anti-Semitic. No, just like you Catholics out there, there isn't one Catholic in 1,000 that could tell you jack diddly squat about the Jesuits. And there ain't one Jew in 1,000 that can tell you jack diddly squat about the Zionists either. So if you're thinking, now listen, if this guy Madoff now thinking about this now, just saw it on the news here last night, Madoff is in his Park Avenue apartment wearing a bracelet. The guy stole $50 billion that he admits to, and he's wearing a bracelet. He's prohibited, get this, he's prohibited from going anywhere without permission. A drug dealer, or a guy that's a drug addict, gets caught in New York, he goes right to the slammer. A guy goes out and robs a 7-Eleven store, and maybe he gets $1,000, he goes right to the slammer. This guy goes out and steals $50 billion, and he gets a bracelet, and he's in his apartment. Come on. That's not justice. You know as well as I do that if you and I or anybody else went out here and embezzled or robbed or stole $1,000, our ass would be in jail. Period. You know it and I know it. But these illuminists don't. Now here's the next prediction. This guy Bernie Madoff will never spend a day in jail. Unless it's for some cover story. And President Bush will pardon him before he leaves office. The new incoming president can't because he's just starting his term. But just like Bill Clinton, remember when Bill Clinton left office, he was pardoning these people right and left. There was one guy stole, I don't know, $200 million or was it $2 billion? I've forgotten now. I think it was $2 billion. He stole $2 billion. He was pardoned by Bill Clinton. And this guy Madoff, he'll be pardoned, and then he'll ride off into the sunset and spend his golden years in Tel Aviv. Now, that's the way the game is played, so wake up, smell the coffee, understand that that's the way it's going to be done. I'm not going to change that now. I'm not here telling you to vote for this guy or vote for that guy. You're just wasting your time voting. You always have, you are now, and always will. What you need to do is start thinking about yourself. You know, what are you going to do when the economy collapses and there's no food in Walmart for you to buy? Now, you need to start getting concerned about that because right now food's plentiful, but it's not always going to be. It's going to be in short supply here shortly, and it's time for you to wake up. So I just wanted to tell you heard it first here. All right, now, these Wall Street people over here, this is the Rubin. Remember, Rubin now is in the new economic team here with the new president. The change that you people thought you were going to get is a rehash of Clinton Bush. Now, had you elected John McCain, you were going to get a rehash of the Bush-McCain. That was all you were going to get, a rehash of Clinton Bush. Was coming from McCain or Obama. It didn't make any difference. So if you voted for Obama and you're disappointed, or you voted for McCain and you're disappointed, don't be. Because the people that picked McCain to run and the people that picked Obama to run for president were the Bank of International Settlements. Those are the guys that make those determinations. Yeah, you can compete against Hillary Clinton. But Hillary Clinton was working for the bankers also. Bill Clinton was. Now, there's going to be some surprises, I'm sure, along the way. But you can have a pretty good understanding of what's coming and how it's coming and who the key players are from the International Forecaster. Just go to the internationalforecaster.com. You can't call him on the phone because he don't talk to people like that. Or you can write to him at Post Office Box 510-518. That's 510-518, Punta Gorda, Florida. And the zip code is 33951-0518. All right, more of this next time, but for right now I'm going to have to leave it and remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. And remember, we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We're going to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.